Thanks for tuning in to Stay Sharp with Razorleaf, your secret weapon for all things digital and products in manufacturing. In this episode, hosts Jonathan and Jen are joined by Jim Brown from TechClarity to discuss the outcomes of a recent survey completed that looks at integration maturity across the digital thread in manufacturing and product development. Among the findings, 2/3 of manufacturers considered integration across the product digital thread as important to their business, but many admit to living with poorly integrated product data. Conversation emphasizes the need for a clear understanding of goals related to the digital thread and how integration can drive better decision-making, product quality, and overall business success. Characteristics of top-performing companies are also shared. Let's listen in.
Welcome back, everyone, to Stay Sharp, the podcast about all things digital related to products and manufacturing. I am Jen Ferrillo, and I'm here with my colleague, Jonathan Scott.
Hello, everybody.
And I would like to welcome our special guest, Jim Brown of TechClarity Research.
Thank you for having me. Jim is
the president and founder of TechClarity, an independent research and consulting firm that specializes in analyzing the true business value of software and technology and services. And Jim brings us over 20 years experience in application software in a variety of functions. Welcome, Jim, and thank you for being here.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's a great conversation that I think we're going to have.
Excellent. First off, before we get started today, Jonathan, can you believe that we have been doing this for a whole year already?
I have to think carefully about how I answer that, don't I?
Or is it only a year?
It does not seem like we've done 50 whatever episodes of this. That is hard to believe.
I mean, it's crazy. But then again, it's hard to remember when we weren't doing them.
That's true.
So anyway, it was just kind of a funny thing. I'm like, wow, it's, you know, the on-site's coming up and it's been a year. So over that year, we have talked a lot about the digital thread. And Jim, this is an area that I know both you and TechClarity have a lot of expertise in that. So I'm really looking forward to you bringing that to our conversation today. Matter of fact, you recently did some research into some additional research into digital thread and the importance of integration of that. Can you tell us a little bit about the survey or the report you guys did?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was a great opportunity to look at the digital thread. We've done a tremendous amount of research on it over time. And one of the things that's just become really clear is that there is no one place for the digital thread. I think if we, we're doing this podcast 10 years ago, you know, Jonathan and I might be talking about how let's get everything into your PLM system. And I think now, you know, time has gone on. And I think we've just realized as an industry that the digital thread sits across applications. The data sits across different data sources and that integration is becoming extremely important to that. So, we actually teamed up with Razorleaf on this and really dug into the issue. We had over 100 respondents that are focused in the manufacturing industries that are involved in the product digital thread and really tried to understand how are they doing things, what are their challenges, what's working. And it was some really interesting findings. And we had some great conversations really trying to understand what the data was telling us. And hopefully we can share some of that today.
Yeah, Jim, I was really glad that we did that research. To your point, you know, years ago, we would have thought of this topic as like, well, get everything into one system so you've got access to it. But, you know, quickly, I think we've all, as this evolved, realized it the data lives in a lot of places. And of course, we see that in our practice, what we do with customers every day. And it made sense to do this research together to ask those questions, right? I've got plenty of anecdotes. I'm sure I'll share some of them today, right? About what we see with our customers, but having survey results that tell us really, you know, that quantify exactly what people are doing and where they're seeing the issues and where they're seeing the benefits, I thought was great. So I was really glad that this was something that you guys did.
Yeah, it's a lot to, we all have gut level instincts, but when it comes right down to it, it's having the data is, you know, and that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today is the data as well. So, Jim, so start us off with, what are we talking about when, just set the baseline. When we say digital thread, what are we talking about? And how is that different than a product digital thread?
No, it's great. And I always sort of tongue in cheek say, if you ask five different people about the definition of digital thread, you'll get six different definitions because somebody's going to have more than one. And so, yeah, we really focus on the product digital thread. You know, digital threads can focus on a lot of different areas, but we did focus on the product digital thread. And we had some specific definitions that we used in the survey to make sure we were all on the same page. Mm-hmm. And we differentiated the product digital thread as, you know, the collection of data and the relationships between it that tie together all of the decisions and information related to product development. That obviously helps streamline the whole product development process. And it goes beyond further into the product lifecycle as well. But we differentiated the product digital thread, which may be integrated in and of itself, from product digital thread integration, which is sort of the act of pulling that information together across data sources, across applications, you know, as we just talked about. So those were kind of the two things that we looked at: product digital thread integration.
And I think one of the things that, you know, as we were discussing this, Jim, and sort of focusing on that, if there are folks out there going like, well, what else could it be? Wait, so it's not plant digital thread, right? It's not the manufacturing digital. It's not like, how does the factory operate? It's not those things. It is focused on the product. And we wanted to hone in on that because I think we know that's an area of focus for a lot of folks. So I was glad that you guys defined that in the survey so that our answers, we knew they were kind of targeted to that topic.
So why is it important? Why is it like, what are we trying to achieve with a digital thread? I mean,
I want to jump in on that one.
Okay.
I'll let Jim answer it. I know there are things from the survey that we want to get to, but I there's an important point there as we're defining the digital thread and about what we're trying to achieve. And I think it's really critical to note, it's different for everyone. At least that's my observation, right? And I think Jim, that was borne out in the survey results, but the different companies, even in the same industry, maybe even making the same product, are going to build a different digital thread because of how they operate, right? Maybe they've got a different business model. Oh, I deliver that thing as a service versus I deliver that thing as a product. Oh, well, then maybe my digital thread's different because I'm more interested in uptime and availability than, oh, I'm interested in warranty and this, right? So it depends on what you're interested in as to what kind of digital thread you want to build to support your decisions, to give you the information you need to run your business. And I think that's really important to note. We try to be, you know, specific about what the product digital thread is, but then we know everybody looks at it differently, right? I mean, now, did we see that in the survey results, Jim?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it couldn't agree with you more that it really depends on what you're trying to solve. I mean, our whole Jen mentioned making the business value of technology clear. We don't believe in technology for technology's sake. Mm-hmm. It has to have a business purpose. And so, we asked people in the survey, and we've done this before, what are your goals for the digital thread? Before you even talked about integration, what are your goals for the digital thread? And product quality came out, you know, mm-hmm. right up at as the most commonly reported thing. And actually, it was roughly 2/3 of the companies said that the product digital thread, that for their product digital thread initiatives, they had a goal of quality. Over half said that they were looking for better decision making, right? You get that rich body of information, maybe not even about the product, just the product you're designing today. But maybe that rich information you have from the product digital thread of a related product or the product's predecessor, where you have maybe even tied some quality information in, you know, and some operational data into the digital thread. But we also saw a lot of things that were about sort of speed and efficiency, right? Faster time to market, product development efficiency, engineering efficiency. And then obviously things like traceability as well, you know, tying the data together. Jonathan, I know you and I had a conversation earlier, and I thought you did a great job pointing out something that not everybody notices when they look at data. You know, if I could, you know, beam the chart into everybody's head right now, it's, you know, you see, you know, 69%, 55%, 51%, 49%. You start adding up those percents. That's a lot of percents.
That's right.
More than 100, right?
That's right. And that's what you realize, right? When you see that on the graphic, you're like, wait, so that must mean that everybody's trying to do more than one thing with this. And that's exactly the point we were just talking about, right? Which is a digital thread looks different to each organization in terms of what they want out of it. So they probably have multiple objectives for what they're trying to get out of it. And I think that's what you're talking about, Jim, right? When you look at it, you start to have those kinds of observations.
100%, I would imagine the digital thread even looks different to each individual within the organization based on your function as well. Certainly,
I think that's true too. Yeah.
You know, the parts of it that you're interested in or need.
One of the things when we were looking at those results, Jim, it reminded me of one of our clients, because it's, I like to use this example because a lot of people, when they think product digital thread, they do have a very product development centric mental model of that, about what people are looking for. And we had a customer, this is one of the armed services branches, that their digital thread, the one they were trying to build out, was sort of two main objectives in mind. But I want to lay out the situation because I think it's going to be not obvious to people. So they were acquiring a weapon system, right? So they're not designing it and building it themselves, right? They're buying it. It's the government. That's what they do. So they were putting in place this digital thread system, PLM and some other components, some downstream components. But their objective in doing it was to get the data, the product definition data, from the people who were actually designing and building the thing, but to pull that in during development of the product so they could contribute, right? So there was one element that was about product quality and those kinds of goals, like you mentioned. But then their secondary objective was then to tie that downstream, to keep receiving this data and to build some capabilities downstream to output 3D PDFs, to output things that they could use to buy parts later. Again, makes sense for the government, right? They mm-hmm. they buy the thing, but then they're going to service it for 20, 30, 40 years afterward. And so they had that improvement of service goal as well. So kind of both ends of the spectrum in terms of what they were after. But the part that's so weird to people is like, but wait, they weren't developing the product. That's right. That's exactly right. And that's the point. That's why I bring it up, is these objectives, you know, they're not always obvious and every organization is different. And I think another part that's interesting is, for a single product, there might be multiple digital threads that represent it. One at the vendor, one at the customer, one at, you know, another organization that uses it or interfaces it or that sort of thing. So anyway, it's a long story, but I feel like that's an important thing to get into when we're talking about goals.
Yeah. And actually, just to add to that, or to support that from the survey perspective, about a third of the companies that responded to the survey, you know, manufacturers said that they had a goal to improve service as well. So it's less common, but is absolutely something you can get out of the digital thread. And I think probably even more obvious to people, the need for product digital thread integration, when you start to get beyond, you know, the engineering department, beyond R&D, you know, and into the broader organization and the supply chain.
Yep.
Right. And it's, I mean, although it may be less common now, I feel it's kind of like Maslow's level of hierarchy. Like as soon as you get right. that, okay, you got your product design and development manufacturing done. Okay, then what's next? We've got this, and then right. build on that. So it will become more and more common, I think.
100%.
So, you know, it sounds like we've decided a digital thread, obviously, it's not just design anymore. It's passing of data. You need to have the different systems integrated. I'm curious, and I know that you guys dug into this a bit. Does everybody agree that that data integration is important to the success of a digital thread?
Jonathan and I do.
Yeah, so I think we're on the same page. You want to know about the survey. Right.
No, we did. You know, we saw that everybody placed some value on it, but it's different. And so, you know, we actually asked the question, what's the importance of the digital thread to achieving the importance of digital thread integration to achieving your product digital thread goals? And what we saw is that, you know, about, you know, 18% said that it's actually critical, okay. But another 51% said it's important. So you put those two together, that's about 2/3 of the company said that it's important or critical. So that does mean there is another, you know, about 1/3 that said it was nice to have, right? But it is interesting that, you know, doing surveys a lot, you don't see a lot of 100%, you don't see a lot of 0%. Not important, didn't fit on the chart because it had to be a footnote, because 0% of the people said it wasn't important. So I think it depends, again, you know, probably on goals that they have, why it's either nice to have or more critical, but it may also depend on their maturity. But you know, overwhelmingly, you know, 2/3 said, yeah, this is definitely something that's important to drive our product digital thread goals. And we also know that the product digital thread is important to achieving profitability and success in business. So we're talking about something that really drives top and bottom line, not just a, not just a, an IT thing.
Yeah. I think that, the answers there, like you said, Jim, are very telling that nobody said it's not important, mm-hmm. but the varying levels of how important it is. A lot of times in my mind, it sort of depends on your perspective and sometimes what you think the art of the possible is, right? That there are folks who talk about nice to have because they're like, well, I can do it another way or it's too hard, that kind of thing. But to me, the interesting finding is exactly what you said. Nobody said, eh, we don't need it. Doesn't matter, right?
I'm curious, and like, in general, we're agreeing that it's important. It seems like it's coming more to the forefront, and by it, I mean integration, the requirements for integration. What's changing? What's driving the increasing importance of integration to digital thread?
I have opinions. We don't have any data on it, Jonathan. Maybe you want to take the first run at that?
Yeah, I think it is about... It's a change in culture in business, I think, is part of it. People have these great, you know, computers in their hands these days, which brings you a lot of data in a very quick fashion and integrated into what you want to know, right? And people who make apps are great at this, at like, well, what does the customer want in their hand? Well, I think we see the possibility with these systems, digital systems that we work with today. We're like, well, I can have all the information I want at my fingertips, but it's not quite what I want. And that does drive people to say, you know, if I could just see this, if I could just have that. Like, I'll give you an example. Integration 10 years ago, right? One of the things that we got asked for all the time was PLM to ERP integration. And there were two common use cases. One is I need to ship a bill from PLM over to ERP, a bill of material. The other was I need some ERP information should show up in my PLM so I can make decisions during an engineering change process, right? So let's take that engineering change one. The common one was, I want to see inventory. I want to know how many of that part I have before I make a decision to redesign it, scrap it, whatever I might do, because that's going to cost me something. So let me use that information to make that choice. So real simple integration. Pull an inventory value from here and show it over there. Okay. That was solved also by people just saying, well, in the engineering change process, the procurement person just, they've got access to ERP. They just go in there and look, right? So when we get to that step in the process, they say, wait, hold on, put the brakes on this. Engineering, we are not going to scrap 10,000 of those parts. That's going to cost us too much. But what we realized with integration, and I think this drives that value that people see that makes them want to do it more, is they said, well, if you showed that 10,000 on hand number up front in the engineering change process, the designer who was going to propose what we do, they're going to propose, let's rework the part instead of let's scrap the part, which is going to save you that whole cycle of, well, they just looked at it and said, hey, here's the new part. And we went through and we got this review and that review. And by the time we finally got to procurement, you know, 2 weeks later, that's when somebody put the brakes on. So having that context up front, that information gave somebody insight to just change the way we do business, right? We're a lot smarter. We're a lot faster about that kind of thing. And to me, it's those examples that people saw, right? So you put that together with like, I know I can have it because my cell phone lets me get a lot of information quickly with that value of, oh, wow, when I have context, I make a lot better decisions faster, earlier, that kind of thing. To me, that's what's driven it. People have seen that art of the possible and said, if you can do this, why don't we do this more? We can do this in a lot of areas. That's my take anyway.
Yeah. I would actually love to sort of complement that and extend it a little bit. If you take the cell phone example, which I think is fantastic, and you move it forward, one of the things that's fantastic about the information that's in our hand every day, right, is just the vast number of data sources that people can pull together into one place to do a very specific thing, right? And so if 10 years ago we wanted to see inventory, and we still do, to make an engineering change, well, now when we start doing something, think about all the other sources of data that are available. Think about the IoT data that is available that shows, you know, operationally maybe what loads a piece of industrial equipment are working under, so that instead of a requirement or a guess or an assumption, an engineer could go out and find out, hey, what is the maximum torque that's being placed on this shaft, wow, we have data now instead of assumptions, right? And things like that. I think there's just this vast amount of data. So that art of the possible also just has so much many more data sources to pull from. So yeah, I think that's I love the cell phone example. That's great.
Matter of fact, I think, and I'm going to expand on that just a little bit because, and bring in a topic that we talk about a lot, Jonathan. So what you guys have touched on is the amount of data that you have access to, which is tied very closely to the systems, right, that are now available to us because they're generating the data, holding the data, et cetera. So the technology itself, but then it's also the mindset. It's also getting back to people, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're all of a certain age, okay, where like, yeah, the whole age, yeah, well, that's, you just can't see mine. It's where, you know, the whole adage of it ain't broke, don't fix it. The engineer's mindset, like, well, these are the tools I have and I am going to solve the problem with this tool come hell or high water. Whereas now you've got the newer generation coming on and like, why would you do it that way? Like there's right. this cool new way to do it. And like, it's collaborative, it's out there. It's, you know, so I think there's a higher expectation for collaboration and data access than we've
absolutely.
Ever had before.
And decision-making, right? Yes. Why are you making that decision without all of this great information when that information is available? It's like, well, because that's how I grew up and did it because that information wasn't available.
I've always done it this way.
Because I didn't have the internet.
Because I had to look into an encyclopedia for crying out right. loud.
What's that?
So I'm curious then, we agree on like the importance of integration to the product digital thread and you can see some of the challenges, et cetera. Like how are we doing with integrating? Like how are companies, like how well is it working? Surely if we've got this much importance on it and so much value, we're killing it, right?
Exactly. Everybody's already done everything they want to do. I think there's two ways to look at this from the data. One is we really did look at the challenges. The challenges have changed a lot, right? If, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, people were like, oh, that data is an EBCDIC or something like that, right? It's like, it's just stored in a whole different format on a mainframe and we can't even get to it. And those problems are very different from what we're seeing today. But in terms of how well people have done, there's definitely a lot of room for improvement. And we actually, in the survey, looked at it from two perspectives. One is, how integrated is your product digital thread? You know, mm-hmm. is it significantly integrated to not integrated? And, you know, the vast majority, about two thirds, said we have some integration.
Right.
About a quarter said they had significant integration. And we'll talk a little bit about who we see as the top performers later and some of the advantages they have. So there's definitely a lot of room for improvement. The other angle that we looked at that I think is interesting is that we looked at what level is it integrated? Is it just at the departmental level? Is it cross-departmental or does it go out into the supply chain? And I think both of those are fascinating. And I don't know that we have time to really dig into all of that here. So maybe people need to take a look at the ebook. But both of those show that there is a wide variety of maturity and a tremendous amount of opportunity for improvement.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly see that anecdotally within our customers, is that we see folks who it's an early objective for them. It's a primary objective for them because they really believe in that value of context of information. And I feel like those are the folks, to your point, that have the broader scope of integration, maybe additional capabilities in doing integration themselves or with their partners, but they're coupled together, right? You see people who do a lot of it, and guess what? They're pretty good at it too, right? And it's like, well, it could be a chicken and the egg thing. But the survey results make a lot of sense to me in that respect, because then there are folks who maybe have done some integration, to your point. A lot of people have done something, but it's not everything that they want, or it's not really a broad scope. It might be more of a point-to-point thing. They wouldn't really call it a digital thread yet, so much as a digital link.
Yeah.
But it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it's just a couple of little stitches.
Right, right.
So what are then, like, before we get to the top performers, the folks that aren't doing as well? What are some of the impacts? Like, if you're not well integrated, what are you missing out on?
Yeah, you know, I think if we look at the very high level of that, you know, it's the not achieving those early goals, right? Mm-hmm. It's not achieving the quality that you want. So it's you know, errors or finding late errors or even finding errors in the field, you know, missing time to market marks, poor efficiency and that kind of thing. But in the survey, we also looked at some of sort of like the really tactical down and dirty things that people run into where the rubber hits the road, right? Of, you know, what happens if you don't have good integrate, you know, solid product digital thread integration. And it's things like how often do you have to look in multiple systems for data, and how often are people putting the same data into multiple systems? And then kind of related to those, the downstream impact is how often do you have errors and inconsistencies in data across systems? So we looked at all of those. We looked at, you know, really the overall day in the life. And what we found is that people are dealing with this. Most people, about a third are dealing with all of these issues on a daily basis, right? And, you know, you start going beyond that, you know, for duplicate entry, you know, about a third say daily, about a third say weekly, right? So this is just a regular everyday occurrence. And all of those things add up, right? All those little non-value added inefficiencies add up to either just being late or not having the right information to make a decision and going on gut feel and ending up, you know, creating some sort of hopefully just sub-optimized, if not just, you know, something that needs to be reworked and causes a problem.
And I know this isn't something that we dug into in the survey, Jim, but to me, it's very interesting to see that frequency of problems popping up and marrying that, at least, again, anecdotally, with the impact of that sometimes, right? Because an error or an inconsistency in your data can be just a little aggravation, a pain, right? A piece of friction in your business process every day. You got to go fix that, look that up again, that kind of thing. But it can also be a huge impact, right? I mean, I think of an example that I remember from a customer who had integrated some systems where, you know, they made a big mistake, right? They made $100,000 procurement error because they sent an out-of-date drawing to a supplier and the folks made it and then had to rework it and all this stuff. And, you know, lawyers got involved and the $100,000 was just the cost of the material. That wasn't counting all the time to sort it out, right?
But, or the lawyers.
Or exactly. but that's, to me, that's important to this point, that you have to think about that frequency. And that, to me, the frequency was a little surprising as often as it's happening for some people. It shouldn't be surprised by it, but just seeing it in the survey results was like, wow, that's painful. But then thinking about what's the value of each of those instances, and then what does that mean for total value, total cost to your organization for having some of these problems? The second thing I saw there that I thought was really interesting, and maybe I should have not been surprised by this, and that is that we weren't talking about lack of digital thread or lack of integration, right? The question that we were getting at is poor, right? So people may have things integrated, but maybe it's not behaving well, not behaving right, not giving them a result they want, not, you know, and so it's still leading to issues. And that the reason I shouldn't have been surprised by that is I know we have talked to plenty of customers who've come to us not because they don't have integration, but because the integration they have isn't giving them what they want. It's not, you know, it's not behaving well. And I get it, though. I get that. That's why I shouldn't be surprised by it. There are a lot of people out there tying systems together technically who don't understand the data that they're tying together. And therefore, the integration, while technically it moves data properly, it maybe doesn't represent it right on the other side. Or maybe it's a little awkward in terms of what it shares, that kind of thing. So the fact that you looked at poor digital thread integration, I thought was really interesting.
Well, it's easy to tie cost to something like a $100,000 procurement error. That's an extreme kind of situation. But the pervasiveness of poor integration is a whole lot harder to measure, right? Maybe it's costing you 10, 15 minutes each time you have to look that up. But if you're doing it 2-3 times a day, you know, 52 weeks out of the year.
Times 10 people.
Yeah, I mean that's a lot of time, but you're not, because you're not tracking it.
Right.
You don't realize how bad that is and how much that's costing you.
Yeah, and we do a lot of work on looking at, particularly in sort of engineering and product development, the amount of non-value added time that companies spend versus how much time they add actually innovating and engineering. And those numbers are startling every time you see them, but they're also very consistent, so we believe them. And what we see is that companies, you know, an engineer is spending about half of their time actually doing real work. And one of the things that actually shows up in almost every survey we do like that is preparing information for others, right? Getting, you know, hey, that drawing that needs to go to procurement, right? I've got to make sure that someone actually, you know, someone makes that view and sends it to somebody, and then they lose it in email. And then it's like, you know, Jonathan's example, it's later the wrong revision. But those things add up. And I think the thing to think, and I always try and really harp on this, when I talk about that noun value added time, yeah, that annoys engineers, right? It also makes products late to market. And products that are late to market have lower margins and lower market share. So, you know, it's annoying at one level, but it's a big business issue. It hits the P&L. So yeah, I mean, this is critical.
So we did, you know, before we get too much further in our podcast, I want to touch on who is doing it right. How are they doing it? What are the differences between, I think you mentioned the top 25% that are more integrated or have better integrations. What are the differences that you're seeing, both on the benefit side as well as what are they doing that's different?
Yeah, and actually this is some really, you know, it's always fun when survey data shows you what you think is right, and you're like, yep, pat myself on the back. And then there's the survey data that comes in, and you're like, I'm going to have to put that away and think about that for a little while before I write about it. And this was definitely one, but to start, you know, so people understand what a top performer is, we looked at the companies that had the best integration capabilities. They had, they were able to be agile in their integration. They were able to do things better. So we looked at, like, you know, what's your competency in doing integration? And then we looked at, what have they done with that? And then we looked at how are they achieving that competency? So the top 25% of companies, the top quartile, right, is, you know, in our benchmark, or what we call the top performers versus the 75% of the others, are those that have better integration capabilities. So then it's self-reported. And then we looked at, okay, what are those companies doing differently? And I don't know where to start on this, Jonathan, because there's a few different places that we've talked about. One of the things that I think was interesting, and I was actually thinking about this last night, is that the top performers actually have done more integration, right? Not only are they better at it, they've done a lot more, and specifically like they're four times more likely to have those higher levels of integration and four times more likely to be at sort of the supply chain level, the, you know, beyond the departmental level. And I started thinking about it last night as a muscle, right? You know, if you build up that muscle and you work on your integration muscle, then it gets stronger and it gets better and more capable. And so you can do more with it. And so it's not just about, you know, hey, you lifted that weight 10 times today. It's like, hey, when you lift that weight in 3 days, you can lift it 10 times or 20 times, or, you know, you can increase your reps. And I think that was one of the most interesting things about this, was not just that they were better at it, but then after determining they were better, we found out that they'd done just a whole lot more integration. So anyway, I thought maybe start with that.
I think that, that point is well made. And in the survey results, the number of integration practices, right, that you looked at, it was another one of those charts where it sort of showed you some of these top performers are doing more than one practice. There's not a one size fits all. And like you mentioned about, you know, sort of like working a muscle, they've figured out these different techniques and how to use them. And they're using multiples of those techniques to fit together, right? And I think that makes perfect sense. I'll give you an anecdote of where I see that fit. So a couple of our customers who are really sort of pushing that leading edge of model-based enterprise, right? So when we talk about digital thread, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're model-based, but some folks who are advanced in that, that's what they're doing. And a common use case is, hey, I want to use models from engineering in manufacturing, right? And I want to have better communication as a result, and I want to just use the models. I'm not even generating drawings anymore. Well, when you get into the nitty-gritty of, well, how do you do that? There are a number of things you have to think about, and integration comes up very quickly because typically there's a PLM and an MES, right? And so I need to see those models in my manufacturing execution system on the shop floor to use them so that people know what dimension to measure to, they know how to put two parts together, that kind of thing. And that integration, you know, when you start to think about the details of it, it's like, well, I need the model every time it's released or revised on PLM. So there's some event-based aspect to it. And then you need to think about how you move that or share it. So your technique for doing it may not be just passing data. There may be a platform involved, the platform in the middle. There may be some generation of viewables or a neutral file. There could be lots of ways that you need to do that. So there are all these pieces you have to put together and then think about, well, do I get all the information I need just out of one system? So give you another sort of in the weeds example here. When you're sharing a model over in the MES, you may need to tie exactly to a specific feature or dimension or something in that model. Well, the level of maturity we're at today, you're not going to get to that level of detail in a PLM, which is where the model is and it's coming from. You need to get the model from the PLM and then dig into the model with the API of the CAD system. And then you need to tie that with the MES to the note or, you know, whatever it is you're doing. And all of this, it's like, all right, event-based, platform-based, API use, you know, you're like, whoa, okay. There's a lot to integration like that. And that's what I think you're seeing with these results is people who are at the top of their game, they recognize it, they know how to use those techniques, they know how to put them together, and they understand that data so that they can do all that, right? They sort of get the nature of it. They understand what they need to do to get the successful integration out of it. And to me, that's what your results about top performers is telling us.
So what you're saying, Jonathan, if I can paraphrase, is it's not just about lifting those weights. It's about doing all of the cross-training. It's the cardio. It's all the different systems working together to achieve your end goal, whether that be touchdown, a soccer goal, et cetera. You know,
it's both, right? It's the technique and the reps, right? So right. It's, you know, you can go into the gym sort of not prepared and not know what you're doing and hurt yourself is what you can do, right? So I think it's the combo.
But my point is like, or you can build up a whole lot of muscle, but if your actual goal was to run really fast,
right?
Well, that's going to be marginally helpful,
right? Perhaps it's slowing you down.
No, and it's a good point, Jen. And I was thinking of a similar analogy, you know, based on what Jonathan was saying, because he's talking about another result in the survey. I was thinking about yoga. You know, it's not mm-hmm. just about having strong biceps or mm-hmm. triceps or quads or anything. It's about how do they all work together mm-hmm. to accomplish one certain thing. So if you're going to do a certain, and my, you know, forgive me, all people that know more about yoga than I do, which is almost everybody. You know, there's a certain pose that you want to do, and that's going to require muscles that, in my case, I didn't even know I had before, right? And Jonathan, the survey data that you're talking about from the top performers, we looked at what are the tools that they use, right? And you always, when we do that, we always want to say, oh, you know, top performers are 10 times more likely to do this, or, you know, they're 10 times more likely to use a platform, or they're 10 times more likely to use APIs, or they're, you know, 4 times less likely, you know, to use something else. And we didn't find that. What we found is that they were more likely to use all of their muscles, right? They were more likely to do, you know, to use all of these different capabilities. And, you know, and that really was the head scratcher. And we sat down together, you know, really with the RazorLeaf team and TechClarity team, and it was like, you know, it does make sense. Because you need to have that combination, you know, capabilities. You need to have the cardio as well as the muscles. And depending on the certain situation, if you're going to go for a run, you need to, you know, sort of tap into these. And if you're going to go for, if you're going to go for something else, all right, I'm going to stop my analogies, but it's the gymnastics team, right? You got the guy that knows how to do the
U.S.
pommel horse.
U.S. men's gymnastic team is what you're talking about.
Exactly. Yes. You've got the guy that knows how to do the pommel horse. You know, that's the API integration guy. So you need it. You need the top performers. I see them like that, that team that's got like, they can do all of the different things, and maybe it's not everybody, but they, you know, hey, when it's time to do the pommel horse, boom, we got that capability, but you have to be good at all of it to win the gold medal. Right.
So the top performers are the Simone Biles of integration, is what you're saying?
Yeah, see, I think that would have been a better, I think Simone Biles would have been a better example than, I forget the individual's
Netarazic.
But Simone Biles is the star. He wasn't the star. He was the point was it's all about the team. It's
the contributor.
All about, oh, I got
yes.
you. I got you.
So no disrespect to Simone Biles.
No, right. Absolutely not.
Our international audience is like, why do they just talk about U.S. gymnastics? Why? Why?
Yeah, we're really sick of hearing about the gold medals. It's fine. You just, we got it.
No, we're not talking about the breakdancing. The breaking. So that's good.
No breakdancing.
No, that's not top performers. Those are the others.
Well, I keep an eye on our time as usual. Jim, this is part of my job on our podcast is keeping an eye on time. What topics, are there any points in the research that we haven't brought out in this discussion? And I know that, and I want to, you know, make the point to our listeners, there's a webinar out there. It sounds like there's an ebook out there. So there's lots of places that you can, if this podcast has been of interest, you can dig in more deeply. But just top level today, guys, is there any points that you want to make sure that we bring out in today's podcast before we wrap up?
I don't have a specific data point that we didn't cover. I mean, the challenges are in the ebook, and I would definitely recommend people that are looking at doing this. We broke that down into implementation challenges, operational challenges, but also maintenance challenges. And I think a lot of people don't understand with integration, how you do it up front makes a huge difference on the tail and whether it really works later. And Jonathan's example of the, you know, not refreshing a drawing is a great example. So we didn't really cover that. But I think the overall thing that I took away from this was the importance of the product digital thread to business, the importance of product digital thread integration to achieve that. Mm-hmm. And then just the fact that that there are people that are doing a whole lot better at it. And that I think they've got a real competitive advantage. And I think they can continue to build on it, whatever analogy we choose. But having that set of capabilities, the variety of ways to go about integration for the different scenarios, and just doing it and building it and doing more, is going to drive better decision making. It's going to drive better quality. But I think if you step it up a level, you take away all those little niggly non-value added tasks and things like that, it adds up to time to market. And, you know, you start talking about top line. You know, it's not just an engineering issue.
Well, that was perfect. You got to love a guest who comes in and does the wrap up. Perfect. Thanks, Jim. You did an excellent job.
That's exactly what you were going to say, Jen. And so I apologize. Reading your notes. So.
It sounded a whole lot better. So I want to say thank you to my co-host, Jonathan Scott.
Absolutely. This has been a good one today, Jen.
And thank you, especially to Jim Brown and Tech Clarity for joining us today to share your expertise on the importance of integration to the product digital thread.
Thank you for actually sponsoring the research in the first place. Really appreciate that, but also adding, you know, intellectual capital to it as well. I mean, it really was a great effort. And thank you so much for allowing me to have a little bit of fun today. I think integration is not always the most exciting topic, but I think it's important. And, it was fun to chat.
It was. I agree. And I want to encourage our listeners, if there's any questions that today's podcast sparked, if there's anything we didn't discuss that you think we should have, please reach out to us via social media, connect with us, on the different platforms, et cetera. This is intended to be a conversation. It's more interesting if you're in it. So we would love to hear from you. And until next time, stay sharp.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for being here listening to this episode of Stay Sharp with Razorleaf. If you have any questions about integration across the product digital thread or the outcomes of this survey, we'd love to have that conversation. Just leave us a comment on our post or send us an email to podcast@razorleaf.com. We appreciate all the feedback we get, so don't be shy. If you like this podcast, please hit the like button or subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform or on our YouTube channel. Until next time, stay sharp.